Welcome to Curmudgeon's Corner. As we are recording, it is Tuesday, October 22nd, 2013, just after 2 UTC. I'm Sam Minter, and Yvonne Bo is with me again. Hello, Yvonne.
Hello. Hello.
So we got some stuff going on today. We'll do the follow-up on the shutdown debt limit, which of course resolves itself.
All stuff, yes.
Yes, stuff. Since that's off the table, we can talk about the Obamacare glitches that sort of overshadowed for a while.
Yes.
And we'll see how much time those take up. We got some stuff about the rape case in Marysville. We've got some stuff about sort of fallout from the last financial crisis. And, you know, I'll mention, too, I feel bad because, like, every week, you know, there are a few things we never get to, like,
right.
And you know, and we're probably not going to, like, there were attacks, U.S. attacks in Somalia and Libya a few weeks back. We never ended up talking to them. But there's some
Getting stale. It's
getting stale. But, I mean, you know, there's some, I would have wanted to say, for instance, that, you know, like, this is another example. Like, we got all excited about strikes in Syria that probably wouldn't have been all that much bigger than the ones in Somalia and Libya, but yet the ones in Somalia and Libya just happened, and then, well, they already happened, so no one cares.
Right.
You know, whereas if there'd been a build-up to them, we're going to strike in Somalia next week, you know, there might have been a foo-for-ah, but there wasn't, because he just did it. And if he'd just done it in Syria, you would have had the same thing, even though you have the exact same issues at stake, you know, in terms of separation of powers, constitutional war powers, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, we didn't talk about it. There was a global warming report. Didn't talk about it. You know, and every week there are things that we intend to talk about that we don't get to, and there are things that we choose not to talk about because there's other stuff to talk about. And, you know, oh, well.
Oh, well.
You know, that's it.
I did spend a lovely close to 3.5 to 4 hours today getting deposed for a lawsuit.
That's exciting. And you're not are you under a gag order?
Well, I mean, am I under a gag order? I mean, I'm not going to talk
about it. You're not going to get in trouble for saying you were deposed.
No. I don't get in trouble saying deposed. I mean, I can't talk about the particulars about what I discussed. I mean, because we're going to mediation, or if that doesn't work, then we're going to trial. I'm suing, so it's not.
Oh, this is a personal thing, not a work thing.
It's actually a part of my responsibilities as president of the homeowners association.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, which I indirectly benefit, obviously, because I am one of the owners in the homeowners association. But yeah, it was this lawsuit that we've got against our developer for construction defects and other fraudulent claims and stuff and whatever. I mean, the guy,
fun stuff.
Yeah, he's a lying crook, and you know, and I basically, you know, said I'm going to nail him. So basically, I made good progress today, I think.
Now, because you've said that, do we have to give equal time to the other side?
No, we don't.
No, okay.
No, we don't. No reason whatsoever. So I you know, it's just today. It's just kind of very interesting about how, I mean, attorneys work and how they you know. It's just trying to pin me down on procedural or legal matters, and I just kept, like, just not answering those questions. I mean, because I'm like, let's face it, I'm just an individual. I'm the guy who made the claims. I have an attorney who is a specialist in the law. And he kept trying to ask me things that were specific about the law, and I said, you know what? I'm not a lawyer. Next question. Okay? I'm not a lawyer again. Next question. Listen, don't ask me whether code A, B, or C. That's why I hired an attorney. You want to go and, like, you know, debate the law? Go debate the law. I'm telling you what my defects are. You know what? You guys duke out what's acceptable under the law or not. But yeah, he kept going round and round on this, and I kept going, I'm like, I'm not answering. I mean, it's getting to the point of the comical. I'm like, really? For God's sakes, I mean, how long are we going to drag this out? How many times do I got to repeat to you? I don't know the law. I'm not going to answer. So I did that for, yeah.
That sounds like fun. You know, here we had the fun that starting Thursday afternoon up until, I don't know, Sunday morning-ish, Alex was sick. Some kind of cold, I think, but, you know, just like me, he's got asthma and allergies and stuff. So those were all exacerbated. So he was basically feeling absolutely miserable for several days. And then, you know, we had Sunday, we had my daughter Amy's big 18th birthday celebrations. That was fun. We went out to a Brazilian steakhouse and
did
the presents and all that kind of stuff.
There you go.
But now, I think I'm getting what Alex had last week.
There you go.
I was feeling fine, and then over the course of the day today, I'm feeling congested, my head's stuffing up, I'm coughing. Sounds like it's going to be fun.
You're going to get it.
Yeah.
You're going to get it.
Yeah. I mean, it's not horrible yet, but it's worse now than it was 12 hours ago, and I would not be surprised if I wake up with it worse still tomorrow. So, exciting stuff.
Woohoo! All right. So
before I completely get sick... Shutdown. So first of all, I have to give my kudos to you, because on our last show, I was sort of predicting they would go over the deadline a little bit. There were a bunch of reasons why I thought they might, like, wait until they got burned a little bit. One was, of course, the 17th was kind of fake. They could probably last a little bit longer before they started missing payments. The other was, you know, they had been making noise about, you know, hey, we're going to stick it to the end. Now, I'll give you, Bonnier was saying, we're not going to let it happen. We're not going to let it happen.
I just figured
he'd wait a little bit longer before he gave in. I mean, I had no doubts he would give in. I just thought it would go a little over the deadline first. But you were right. He did it right when we needed to.
Listen, it was just, I'm sorry, if you're going to become the Speaker of the House that actually caused the first ever debt default of the United States of America, okay, all right, and precipitated perhaps a major financial cataclysm, because that's what everybody in business.
We did mention before, it would not be first ever. The U.S. missed some payments in the 70s. There were only one or two payments, but they missed some payments in the 70s. It was considered a technical issue and no one cared. Yeah, it was debt payments were late.
No, but were those issued late because of a technical issue, not because...
I'm saying. It was not a political standoff. It was a technical issue.
Yeah, it was a technical... Yeah, and that was a technical issue. That's right. That was just because of some issue I remember with the Treasury.
But nevertheless, it was late.
Issuing payments. Right. Okay. But that wasn't like... You know, an actual, like, default where basically that's what a whole bunch of the Tea Partiers wanted. They just basically didn't want us to pay our debts. And
every time I mention this, I have to bring up, that's probably, you know, the actual debt limit just says you can't issue more debt.
Yeah.
It was perfectly mathematically possible to make all the debt payments so long as... You didn't pay off anything else that the government had the legal responsibility.
What you would wind up doing is basically not paying anybody. A good portion of people could not receive Social Security checks, Medicare payments. Basically, listen, if you take out the taxes, bottom line is that 70% of our budget goes towards Social Security and Medicare. If you didn't issue any debt, bottom line is you couldn't pay all those people. There's no money for any discretionary program outside. I mean, I'm talking any program outside of those. There's no money for the military. There's no more state department.
My point was just that I continually got pissed at the people who were saying, you know, it's about paying your existing debt. No. It's about not issuing new debt. The only question is that if you can't issue new debt, you have a few choices. One of those choices is not paying off interest on the debt, which would be a default. But it's not the only choice. The only question is, some of the other choices are perhaps even more disruptive, but they're still not the only choice.
Well, okay, here's what would have happened. We could have said, for example, yes, we pay our debts, right. But the first moment that, let's say, every senior citizen in the United States, you know, or a good chunk of them did not receive a Social Security check, I mean, you know the impact on the economy that would have had? I mean, we're talking, you know, we are talking a massive amount of money.
Other options might be even worse. Also, of course, a number of people brought up that the fact that the incoming cash flows are also very unpredictable.
Very much so.
If you in fact were not issuing any more debt to sort of smooth that out, then there might come a week where you can't pay anything, including the debt, just because happened, nothing came in that week, or not enough came in.
That's right.
In any case, regardless of that,
You know what? But basically, Boner, whatever. How the hell do you pronounce his last name?
I always say Bonner, but I don't know.
Okay, Boner, Mr. B. Whatever, Mr. B. Okay, basically, just did not want to be the guy who presided over the worst self-inflicted financial cataclysm.
And what's interesting though is he actually appears to have played this in a very smart way, because he's actually ending up stronger with his caucus than before, because the Tea Partiers, even the Tea Partiers, didn't really want, you know, the economy plunged into destruction. They just wanted to make a stand. And so he made the stand. He made it for as long as possible, and then he flipped then. So they're happy he didn't flip earlier. Meanwhile, the more moderates are like, okay, he sort of kept the crazies in line. But a lot of people, you know, over the last, since this thing got resolved, you have had people, Republicans of both sides of this, coming out. And on the one hand, you have the people who are for this action saying, you know, hey, the Senate sold us out. They're not saying Bonner sold them out. They're saying that the Senate sold them out. And then you've got a number of senators and other folks saying, you know, this was a stupid idea. We told you it was a stupid idea. Look what happened. We're in a worse position than we were before. And let's not do this again, please.
And I think some people were like, what the heck were they equating it in the Bush administration? I can't remember, think about what the fallout would have been to Democrats if – you know, during the Bush administration, the Democrats decided we're going to, I don't know, close the government if he basically just doesn't roll over on X, whatever the hell it is. I mean, it's just not a good negotiating tactic. And here's a bigger problem.
I will mention, though, despite the fact that everybody seems to be unanimous that this was a net negative for the Republicans as a whole. Now, there might be different individuals that are positive or negative within the Republicans, but Republicans in the whole, consensus seems to be this is a net negative. But the Democrats actually did not completely stick to their guns of clean resolution only. There were a couple things in here. There was there was one Obamacare related thing that was fairly minor. It was like do you even remember? It was the extension of some. It was an extension of some deadline that the Democrats had actually said that they were willing to talk about for a long time. I forget the details. It was something minor. And actually, it's interesting. The name of the bill is actually all about that. I should look it up. And then they threw some money to a project in Kentucky for Mitch McConnell.
Are you shitting me? They did?
Yep.
Gotta love our democracy.
It was a dam building project or something related to water. I forget the details. And it was actually already significantly over budget. Apparently, they authorized it to spend the money it had already spent plus a little bit more to finish the project.
Ah, there you go. Well, I guess, you know. Yeah, fucking stupid. I think. Here, the one thing that I was trying to say about this whole thing is just that, look, I mean, for all this bullshit that happened, okay, the Republicans really got pretty much jack shit nothing. And the reality is that I don't know how politically they gain anything.
Well, the thing is, they got their fig leaf.
But it's a fig leaf only that, like I said before, all it does is like pander to the guys that they already got solidly in their block. Moderates turned away in spades. The business establishment that was for the Republicans is angry. They are extremely angry, okay? They are like, who the fuck do we support? We can't support these bozos, is what they've been saying the last week, okay? And so this really, in terms of that, turned to a massive negative for them. Because the business establishment got scared that these guys would just wreck the economy over stupid shit. And I don't know how the hell they recover from that at this point.
I'll tell you how they recover. Time. The public has very short memories, so even people who are pissed at this, time we get to the actual elections...
But you got to remember, I'm not talking about the election. I'm talking about the guys that are raising money for these guys.
Okay.
Talking about the guys that are going out there and putting money in order to make their campaigns happen. And those are the guys that are saying that. Now, with those guys, they don't turn around that quickly. When they get burned like that, they don't go and they don't just turn around and do that. But the public does have a very short memory about this stuff. But those guys don't. And they've got an election coming up in about less than 14 months away. And those guys are not out there pounding the pavement raising money for these. So what the hell are they planning to do? They really shot themselves in the foot really bad with that, with those guys who were out there pounding the pavement raising money for them for the last election cycle. So I don't know how that is the one thing that I was reading that I see that they really killed themselves with. And the repercussions of it, I think that's why a lot of establishment Republicans are really mad. Because I'm like, wait, now we lost the guys who really brought the gravy and put the money out there for our campaigns. Those guys don't want to put any money up. And how the hell do we turn them around if you know what? Here's a problem. All we did is kick the can 3 months down, right? Okay, the fuck is going to happen now 3 months from now?
Well, so, and this is one of the questions. You've got a bunch of the congressional leadership saying, you know, hey, we did this. It was a disaster. We are not doing it again in January.
So they said, and so they thought.
But of course, here's the thing. The leadership didn't want to do it this time.
What do you mean the leadership didn't want to do it this time? Oh, you mean the leadership, the Republican leadership didn't want to do it this time, but still went and caved to these guys in order to do it.
Yeah.
But they still did. They still caved. I mean, they said they didn't want to do it, but they still did it anyway. So I don't know what the hell. I mean, so, okay, great. So this time they did it, they caved, right?
Just for the record, it adds a provision meant to do income verification of those receiving Obamacare subsidies.
Well, there was already supposedly an income verification.
This strengthens it and applies it to more of the people applying, and which is something the Democrats were already considering. They weren't throwing a big objection to that. They're like, okay, that might whatever. Basically, it also instructs a bipartisan budget committee to report back on a plan by mid-December, and we know how well those bipartisan committees have done lately.
Yeah, like shit, which is why I'm saying, what the hell are we going to be doing like in a couple of months again? I mean, are we going to go back to just this whole clusterfuck again? I mean, look, 6 months ago, when the hell was it that Ryan and the Republicans passed the budget in the House? What was it, like 6 months ago maybe? Well, sometime in during the last year, right? So the Senate went past the budget, right? So the Republicans refused to send anybody to conference, okay? All right? Just refused, okay? Because basically, it seems like for the last couple of months, you've had a whole group in the Republican Party that wanted to cause the showdown, okay? Because they wanted the showdown because they really wanted it. You know, I spent for the last couple of months going to the gym, and I don't watch Fox News, but they have on the freaking screens, they have CNN, they have CNBC, they have MSNBC, they have all the channels. And I kept seeing fucking Ted Cruz going up there every fucking day with that whole – this whole thing. He had these TV ads nonstop running on Fox News about defunding Obamacare and this shit. So you can see that they were preparing for this thing for over a month and a half. At the first, I thought – I kept seeing the ads, and I'm like – what the fuck is this guy planning on doing? I mean, you know, doesn't he know this fight's over? Okay, what the hell is he planning on doing? Then, of course, I saw his whole monologue, you know, for 21 hours and then forced the shutdown. So I guess that was their entire strategy to try to force it, basically put a gun to the president's head, kill it, or, you know, you're toast. And the president, thankfully, said, are you guys fucking kidding? I mean, you know, it's like, I mean... Well, we represent the majority. No, you don't. You lost the fucking election. They didn't put in your president. You didn't win the Senate. You are in the fucking minority, assholes. I mean, this is the other thing that keeps irritating me about them. They keep talking about we're representing the majority. party. Well, you did not win the fucking election, let me remind you again. So, no, you don't. And my problem is, you know what? 3 months ago, we're going to talk about this shit again. Because these guys do not want to pass a budget, and they do not want to negotiate over a budget. All this shit that I've been hearing is the same crap I've heard over the last 15 fucking months, okay? Well, we're not going to accept any taxes. We're not negotiating on that. We're not going to... Well, fuck, then what? So what's the outcome? I don't know. I mean, are we just going to go back to the same thing 3 months from now? Is that your take?
I don't know if they'll let this happen again 3 months from now.
What do you think they're going to do?
I mean,
do you think they're really going to cut a deal of some sort?
Let me answer in just a second, because I think we might have a technical difficulty. Let me pause. We'll be back after this.
You're in The Valley, AM 1620, and LiganairRadio.com. This is where you'll find your favorite songs. Everybody's doing a brand new dance now. Come on,
baby. Let's do the twist. Well, they got a new dance, and it goes like this.
Classic music for a classic American town, AM 1620, and in stereo at LiganairRadio.com, The Valley.
Okay, we're going in, and I actually believe we weren't missing anything after all, so apologies for the quick break. The thing I was using to see was, like, showing that it hadn't updated in 5 minutes, but, like, when I stopped it, it, like, suddenly said, okay, you got everything. So, and now, it's not updating anymore like it used to, so I can't tell for sure. It's weird. It's like, I don't know, maybe it's doing some kind of weird buffering thing. I don't know. The recording software updated itself, like, yesterday, so... Anyway, like, look, I think, you know, the reasonable-ish, moderate-ish leadership on the Republican side looks at this and says, this is a disaster in the polls. It's not a winning thing in, you know, for, like, fundraising, like you said before. At least within certain parties, it's not. And I think they're going to say, you know, hey, this time you guys who want to do the shutdown and want to, like, say we're not going to do whatever unless you do whatever, you know, we played that game back in October. We're not going to do it again this time. Maybe, you know, next time around after that. But I think this next time around, the Republican leadership is just going to say, look, we did that. It didn't work. We're going forward here, and they're gonna right off the bat play the same kind of deal that ended up happening this time with the Democrats plus some Republicans. Now they may have to play the game a little bit and get, you know, relatively close, you know, to the deadline before they do it. But they're not gonna actually shut down the government again for 2 weeks,
and no, they're not gonna let us go over the debt limit. I don't. I guess, you know what? They're not going to shut down the government, but I don't know if they're just all they're going to wind up doing is kicking the can down again for another couple of months.
Well, yeah,
and the thing that discourages
of course they will. Because here's the thing: the actual solution, we talked about this before. You know, eliminate the debt limit entirely. You manage your deficit stuff in the appropriations process and in the tax law process.
Right.
Because those two laws have as a necessary consequence whatever your deficit gap is going to be, whatever your debt situation is going to be, is a necessary consequence of what you pass in terms of spending and what you pass in terms of taxes and any other fees the government wants to levy. Eliminate the debt limit and say you have to deal with that stuff on the front side when you pass those spending laws in the first place. A. And B, if you really want to solve it, you also say that spending gets an automatic continuation unless a new law is passed that says something different. And maybe even index that to inflation. But even if you don't do that, continue at the same level. Yeah,
because the debt limit honestly makes no sense. If you authorize the spending, but then you don't want to authorize to pay it, to me, it's just nonsensical. I totally agree.
You know, I mean, the flip side of that is have something that says that, you know, no law is valid in the first place if it would cause a breach of the debt ceiling. Right. But I think that's a lot harder to manage. But you know, those are the solutions. But the thing is, what I just said, there is no way you have the votes to enact anything even remotely like that.
All right, so what
we're
going to
continue with exactly the situation where we are going to kick the can down the road a few months at a time for the indefinite future.
At least we get material to talk about on the show, I guess.
Yeah, but you know, the question is, you know, the thing is, like, for years and years and years, these were non-events. They were still kicking the can down the road. But the Congress would just say, oh, well, we didn't get our act together to do something else about it before the deadline, so we'll just extend it 3 months or six months or whatever.
Right.
And it would just happen, and there'd be no controversy, and it would barely be mentioned on the news at all. And if it was, it would just be a story about, hey, look, Congress can't get their act together, so they just passed a continuing resolution. You know? But fundamentally,
I don't know about you, but this is fucking ridiculous. The fact that we have not been able to fucking come up with a budget since what year again? What has it been? 2008? 2007?
I don't know.
I mean, really? I mean, we're this incompetent? I mean, that just really drives me up the wall. I mean, I'm sorry. It just really, sit the fuck down and negotiate something, damn it. I mean, why can't you? I mean, is there just nothing to gain politically? Is that it? I mean, I guess not. I mean, because if you arrive at a deal, right, okay, then what are you going to have? What are you going to use at the next election? To go, like, crucify the other guy?
Well, yes.
Right?
And also, I've been reading a number of, you know, articles from political science type folks looking at this. And one of the things they mention is, look, for years and years and decades, people complained about the U.S. political parties because they were not, quote-unquote, ideologically sorted.
So as a matter of fact, I remember that we talked about this during our Curmudgeon's Corner, where we were in college 20 years ago. One of the things that we talked about very often was that you barely could interchange the fucking parties, that there are almost no difference.
Well, and see, but the thing is, over the last 20 years, what's happened is the parties have significantly sorted themselves.
Yes. Like,
20 years ago, you know, there was never a question that, you know, the Democrats were a little bit more this and the Republicans were a little bit more that, but there was a lot of overlap. There were liberal Republicans and there were conservative Democrats.
That is correct.
They were in the minority in both of those parties, but they existed.
But they existed.
And so that structure, the fact that the parties represented things other than pure ideology, and there was that sort of mixing and overlap, made it a lot easier to make deals. Because you had a lot of these people in the middle-ish who actually kind of sort of could have been in either party. It was just sort of a matter of personal preference and the local politics in their state that they were in the party that they were in.
That's right.
But on the issues, they could be either, you know, they could go either way. And there's a lot less of that. And there are a number of charts and graphs that you can see where people graph the median positions of the parties, and they have been moving further and further apart. And in recent years, actually, if you look at it, it's interesting. The Democrats have been staying approximately the same. The Republicans have been moving further away. That's just in the last couple of years. If you go back further than that, they were both moving away from the center. And there are a number of reasons for that. Some people have brought up gerrymandering, but a number of people have pointed out, and with very compelling cases, the gerrymandering is a very minor effect compared to the fact that people are just actually physically sorting themselves. You know, conservative people tend to live in conservative places, and liberal people tend to go, there's actually migrations of people towards municipalities and states that better represent their political views. And so, you know, you have more safe districts, not because they're weirdly gerrymandered, but because guess what? Texas really is conservative. You know, and Vermont really is liberal.
Right.
You know? And so it's very hard to generate, you'd have to do all kinds of weird gerrymandering to generate actual competitive districts in most of Texas. You could do it in some cities. But, you know, so it's like, so there's a lot of interesting things here about how the parties are sorting themselves. And so what that means is that it is much, much harder to generate these compromises. And of course, our form of government that has, you know, the two branches of Congress, the president, the courts, all put up against each other, none of which have supreme authority over the others, sets itself up for these kinds of conflicts. And so a number of people were saying, hey, look, if we had a parliament, none of this would be an issue because whoever's in the majority in the parliament gets to do what they want, basically.
Basically, yes.
And if they lose support, then, hey, new elections.
Right.
You know, and that's the way it works in lots of parliamentary democracies. And there's some interesting book? Somebody pointed out there's a political science political scientist who just died. And he'd written sort of the classic book on this, which was looking at presidential democracies and how, in general, the United States aside, if you look at the rest of the world, presidential democracies tend to be much less stable. The book name of the book was The Failure of Presidential Democracy by Juan Linz. And I put it on my list to read someday, maybe, but it's more of a textbook than like a popular
book. And they're arguing that presidential democracies are less stable than parliamentary governments?
No. Well, in terms of, let me put it this way. Not in terms of like Italy has parliaments every 5 months.
But that's what I'm saying.
But they tend to be peaceful transitions. What he was saying is, for instance, when a presidential democracy fails, it tends to fail by the system itself getting into absolute gridlock by the various people involved not feeling represented at all, not feeling like they had any way to affect things, and then turning to, you know, military coups or drastic changes or whatever. And he used as examples, again, outside of the United States, not counting the so far success of the United States in avoiding those kinds of actions. He was showing that if ignoring the U.S., if you looked at all other countries around, presidential democracies tend to, when they fail, fail really badly and violently. Whereas parliamentary democracies tend to, when they fail, just have a new election.
Because when there's a no confidence vote, I mean, it doesn't turn into like a coup, for example, or something like that. You got a no confidence vote, boom, the government dissolves, new elections are called pretty quickly, boom, there's a new person, that's it, done. End of it. Yep.
Whereas instead, you get like Egypt, where there is a president, they decide they don't like him, and they're not going to wait 3 years for the next election, so military coup.
Right.
Just to bring this back to the U.S., the reason why the analysis said that this had never happened in the U.S. is because we did not have ideologically pure parties. We had parties that were very mushy. And very, very able to sort of adjust within themselves. And so a number of people are pointing out that we may not quite be at the point where, you know, if this doesn't work, we're going to have a military coup or anything like that. Nobody's predicting that. But as the parties get more ideologically sorted, it makes it harder and harder and harder to actually move forward any agenda whatsoever, whether it be a conservative one or a liberal one.
But, in a presidential system. It's just interesting stuff.
I love this kind of stuff.
I love this, but I'm going to bring an example at the opposite end. Okay? All right. Listen, you talk about that. You do remember about what happened with Belgium between 2010 and 2011? They could not form a government for 541 days.
Oh, did they finally form one? I thought that was still going on. So.
No. They did form one, but it took them almost 2 years.
Yes.
Okay?
Yes.
All right? So look. I mean, yes, okay, that's true. You can bring down the government. However, just because you can, it doesn't mean that those groups are not as hard-headed and as separate that they couldn't form a government for 2 years. Belgium had no government for 2 years.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, of course, and you know, they say it had no government, but obviously it services continued functioning during those 2 years too. It's not like it fell. It's not like it became Somalia.
No, it did not. But my point is that even with a parliament, you can still have a situation where, for example, I mean, the Italians had six freaking presidents. They haven't been able. Listen, they haven't been able to change. Look, we talk about our dysfunction. Shit, the Greeks and the Italians make us look like geniuses of figuring shit out. I don't know. Well, look, all very interesting, all very good. I have a hope that at some point some of this has got to calm down, because this is just ridiculous.
Yeah, I'll tell you when it'll calm down. At this point, it'll calm down when you know, fundamentally, elections have to change the dynamic. Either you have to have one party in charge of House, Senate, President again, or you have to have the Republicans sort of either break the grip of the Tea Party on the party, or the Tea Party takes over entirely. You know, whatever. You have to have something.
Or the party breaks up.
Well, even if the party breaks up, I mean, it becomes very interesting. Let's say you actually had a breakup in the House, and you had the Tea Party, the Republicans, and the Democrats, and nobody could get a majority in the House to elect a speaker.
Well, but I'm going to bet that probably you would get a coalition of moderates from the Republicans together with the Democrats to get a speaker elected.
You might. And you know what would actually be interesting, and what I think would be very, very healthy in the House, actually, for that matter, in the Senate, too. In the British Parliament, they also have a Speaker of the House. Mm. But the Speaker of the House is required to be religiously nonpartisan.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Like, right now, the Speaker of the House controls a lot of power to set the agenda. So as you saw in this standoff, there was a majority in favor of, let's get the government back up and running. The vote in the end was 2-1 in favor of that.
Right, but Bonner wouldn't put the bill up for a vote.
And there are all sorts of procedural things that give the Speaker and the leadership power to control the agenda. If instead you had a nonpartisan Speaker who just said, hey, anything that has more than a certain threshold of support within this House, I'm putting to a vote.
Right.
You know, and leadership on committees, make that purely seniority. We're not even partisan. Whoever's been here the longest gets to be in charge. You know, whatever. Yeah, and you have stuff like that, and you sort of break up these power structures. You would see a House that would actually be a lot more democratic than it is today, and small d democratic, in terms of being able to actually represent the will of the people who voted for these representatives. Now, of course, people will argue that, you know, hey, there's significant reasons for giving the Speaker that power. But I think both the House and the Senate would benefit from a system in which any member could bring anything to a vote. And
agreed.
And you just get the up or down vote. And if it passes, great. If it fails, great. But you get the vote. I think both branches of government would benefit from that. And you'd still, you know, hey, we still have a Democratic Senate and a Republican House that'd still be harder to get. You still wouldn't get everything done on a whim, but you'd have to have some compromise there to get anything done. But I think it would be a much healthier system than we have today, because I think what's happening right now is you've actually got majorities, you know, potentially bipartisan majorities on a number of different issues, not on everything, but a number of different issues where you could do things and do constructive things, but nothing happens because of the way things are structured. It's not just because of divided government. It's because of the rules and structures within Congress itself.
Yeah. Well, okay. So, all right.
Okay,
so let's
take another break. And I haven't had to do this for years, but I'm actually pausing the recording in between to make sure I've got it, because it's not like, you know, automatically updating me like it used to. I don't know. I don't like this update to the call recorder. I don't know. Ah. Anyway, we'll take a break. We'll be back. We'll talk about, I don't know, one of those other things. We'll be back after
one of those things.
Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da
Okay, we're back. And of course, like, you know, as soon as I stop the recording, it all shows up, it's all there, it's all happy. And, you know, this is the thing, like, back with the old way we were recording, and many of you won't remember this, this was a couple years ago. What would happen is, like, the recording system wouldn't actually save what it was recording until you stopped it. And so if the computer crashed, if the program crashed or anything, we would lose entire segments.
Oh, yeah.
And I've been
talking. We would have been talking for 20 minutes about all sorts of stuff and then, you know, get nothing. And then what you would get the next time is me basically being pissed off and
then
basically
we
doing
we
a half-ass.
We would try to talk about it again, but it would
but
be like,
just,
well,
yeah,
you didn't hear it the first time and we sort of said this thing sucked and, okay, next.
Exactly.
Yeah. So anyway, this is annoying if it's gone back to those days. I don't like this. I don't like this. I mean, you know, it hasn't crashed or anything, but I don't like not being able to see on the disk, hey, this file is getting bigger and bigger every 10 seconds, you know? Okay, anyway, what was our next topic? What was our next topic?
Well, I had over here
Obamacare.
Obamacare,
yeah. So during
which was apparently the crux of this whole fucking thing in the first place that we spent talking about the first, I don't know how long.
Yeah, well, and look, during this whole shutdown thing, this is another reason Republicans were, like, you know, slapping themselves in the head. You know,
yes.
Because the Obamacare launch was a freaking disaster.
Disaster!
It completely and totally fell apart, and there would have been nothing but that in the news for 2 weeks.
Except
the Republicans shut down the government. So,
exactly
so everybody
right.
was talking about that instead, and nobody, very few people were talking about the website problems.
I mean, if you don't, you want to talk about a bad, bad, bad strategy, I mean, you know, that is just, you know, they completely, that is the biggest blunder about the whole thing, in my opinion.
Of course, they had no way to know that, well, you know, here's the thing. They had no way to know that it would fall apart in the way it is. But, of course, the whole Republican case was predicated on Obamacare is horrible.
Right.
So this is the first opportunity for people to see just how horrible it is, and you drown it out.
Right. Genius.
Anyway, well, but the bottom line, and I'll admit, like, I've heard so much about how bad it is. I haven't actually tried myself beyond the front page. But apparently this thing has been, the website has been so bogged down. It's got all kinds of technical issues. People were trying to create accounts and failing. People were trying to create accounts and it was losing their application. Sometimes it was submitting applications twice. Most often people couldn't get through at all because the thing was just too damn overloaded. And basically, just not freaking working.
Right.
And there have been a number of stories in the news about how did they screw it up so bad. And it seems to be, it boils down to the fact that they didn't actually start planning for the website until way, way late in the process. Like this year, like March this year. How many years? The law was passed, what, 2.5 years ago?
2 years ago. And I think, well, part of it was because I think they started, but it was in a much smaller scope because the states were supposed to set up the exchanges. Okay, right? So
supposed to be a national umbrella.
Right, but it wasn't supposed to be this big.
But anyway, look, they started late. They didn't start till March. Apparently, even after March, they kept changing the requirements. They kept pushing back things so that apparently by the launch day, they hadn't done any significant testing of the damn thing whatsoever. I mean, these are, you know, basically, look, these are all the thing, and there was all kinds of integration stuff too, by the way.
Well, I'm trying it right now. It did let me log into the place where I could create an account all the way there.
I just have the homepage up, but I wasn't going to mess around further.
I clicked all the way through it. It let me create a marketplace account. It let me actually, it actually was quite responsive at this point, by the way. Well, I'm not going to create one because I'm, by the way, I don't know about you, but I got a notice that our company has decided to take part of a private healthcare exchange. Uh-huh. Okay. And I started getting the details on it. I will tell you this. You know, I'm quite happy for Obamacare right now because they actually, our medical plans, they had been limiting and narrowing the choices that we had for healthcare plans for years. And because we're participating in a private exchange, they really expanded our options substantially. All my deductibles are down. I don't know what the rates are yet. I will tell you what I see the rates compared to this right now. But the coverages are substantial. Coverage options are enormously better than what I had before.
See, now, for us, this last year, they switched from one health provider to another health provider. And at first, we were like, well, whatever. It was, you know, but then we started to notice, hey, it covers significantly less of a lot of things than it used to. And that's, like, annoying. Right. So, I mean, you know, like you said before, I mean, at some point before the deadline, we'll look through this thing and just see, you know. And chances are, I mean, we've got pretty good corporate coverage. We're probably not going to want to change.
My coverage was decent, but I will tell you. But the thing is, here's what's going to happen. Listen, I got this notice that we're part of a private exchange, and they said because all the coverages and all the insurance plans have changed, that you have to make choices. Your choices will not roll over and continue.
Right.
You have to make a choice. Number one. The second thing that I saw about it is that our company changed from before. It used to be that our company, the health plan that our company contracted, all they did was administer the benefits, but it was not insurance. I mean, our company was just simply get billed the amount that was expended. They had to pay. That's it. It was basically self insurance. But they changed this model now to where, you know what? It is pure insurance. We are going to put money in insurance. We're going to pay the medical plan so much. We're going to give you this, and that's what you're going to get. So the other thing that was quite interesting that I see is because we also get the tiers, like the silver, gold, right, platinum tiers. It used to be that, you know what, if you had coverage or I had coverage and we wanted to talk about it, it was never comparable. You didn't know what the hell was included. Okay, and now I mean I go from one company to another, and we can talk about coverages and whatever, and what the heck you're getting and whatnot. So it's easier to understand, and it's easier to compare. So I don't know. As more of I'm learning about it, I said this before. Yeah, the website sucks. I mean,
a couple things on the website just to notice. Like one, they were saying a lot of the problem was integration because you have to have things communicated back and forth between the state websites, the federal websites, the insurance companies, all kinds of different back and forth. It has to talk to the IRS. There are all kinds of back and forth to all kinds of legacy systems, and that's part of the problem. But, you know, they basically started way too late, and they they had too many organizations doing different parts of it, and the communication between them wasn't very good. And so one of the questions I'm definitely going to want to see are, did any heads roll about this whatsoever?
A whole bunch of people today have been, like, trying to get, what's her name, Sebelius.
Sebelius.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. In Washington State, where I am, the state did set something up. So, like, I can't even see where the most of the problems are, because right off the front page, it takes me from there to the Washington website.
Correct.
And so Washington doesn't have all these problems. At least I haven't heard about them specifically. So it's the federal exchange that you get if there is no state exchange that's having most of the problems, correct?
Correct. Correct.
Yeah, so I don't even see. Does Florida have their own, or did Florida?
No.
So you Florida, have to. Obviously. You're actually looking at the federal one.
Yes.
So I don't know. We'll see. And apparently, like, they have worked out some of the, like, it's not as bad as it was 2 weeks ago. Like you said, you can get in, you can create an account, you can do stuff like that. But apparently, there's still all kinds of things about once you put in your information, having it go the right place, having it get there uncorrupted and not mixed with somebody else's stuff, and, you know, and just have the whole process work. And
they got a smiling lady on the front page of the healthcare.gov thing.
Yeah, no, I've seen a number of people saying, you know, how, you know, they'd hate to actually be that woman. Yeah, because that's that's like, you know, stock art they purchased from somewhere. And somewhere that woman is actually there, you know? And hey, aren't you the one? You know?
And funny.
And I was looking at the Washington State one, and they've also got, you know, stock art on the front. And I'm like, don't I know that guy? You know? And of course, that's what they intend to do. Stock art, you're supposed to have sort of semi-generic people that remind you of people you know.
There you go.
It's like, I mean, they're not generic, but you know what I mean.
No, but yeah, but I figured that now with, like, I don't know, CGI or whatever, just make a picture of somebody, you know, just whatever. It's just nobody specific.
Hey,
no?
You know, the NSA has you for facial recognition anyway. They could just put your picture up.
Sure, there you go. What the hell, anyway? Put now, my picture.
Anyway, you know, no, I mean, everybody sees themselves. Kind of spooky.
I don't see myself in the face of this lady. I don't think it looks like that, not particularly. Not in the slightest.
So anyway, the questions at this point are, there's some questions of like, has anybody actually successfully made it all the way through and gotten their coverage set up?
I heard some people, yes. Okay? Now, but not a lot. I did hear some people, yes.
Yeah, I've heard that it is a non-zero number. But what was interesting, for instance, when the president had his news conference where he talked about this and gave sort of a half-hearted apology and said, we're working on it, you know, he had a bunch of people there. And if you look through the bios provided, I tweeted an article about this earlier today. They're not even people who themselves have gone through it all. They're people who've like, I signed up and I look forward to shopping for healthcare, or, you know, I think this will be good for me, but I plan to. But there wasn't anybody that they brought up to the stage who was like, yeah, I did it. I did the whole damn thing. I'm signed up.
Okay. Well,
and part of that is, of course, you have to apply, and then the insurance companies have to get back to you. So there's a right. There's a multi-step process here, but still, it's like, ugh. It shouldn't be, like, if they're trying to make this easy, it should be relatively easy. Like, this shouldn't be like filling out your taxes or anything, you know? It should be like, not that that should be as hard as it is either, but you should be able, you should log in, you should see a menu, you should click on one and hit go, and you should be done. You know?
Yeah, well, I don't know. I know that they've made changes, but I want to see like how our private exchange is. It's still not launched.
Right.
All I got was preliminary information to sign up. They said actually trying to log in to see when they say that it's going to be up. I think it's hang on. I'm logging into it right now.
Well, speaking of timelines, while you do that, one of the questions I've seen a number of articles with, you know, anonymous sources within the companies dealing with these healthcare sites saying, you know, it's really, really screwed up. It's like it internally, it's a huge mess. It was rushed. It was bad. It's buggy. They're going to have to rewrite.
Well, I don't think they picked the right vendor, to be honest with you. I saw that, if I understood correctly, the company that they chose was Equifax in order to do a lot of this, well, a lot of the integration work.
They may have to do parts of it. Here's the thing, and this is part of the problem. It's not one company. It's like 30 companies that have to work together. The general contractor type one is actually based out of Toronto, which I found was interesting in and of itself that they picked a Canadian company. But, you know,
well, I mean, they have like whatchamacallit, the universal health insurance over there. I guess people's got to sign up somehow. Is it single payer in Canada? I don't even remember.
Yeah, I believe it is.
Okay.
But, you know, and that's just the website. Of course, there's even more infrastructure beyond the website, which Obama pointed out at his news conference as well and said, hey, if you're having trouble with the website, call the 800 number, which a bunch of reporters immediately did and got busy signals. So, so good job there.
Oh, God.
And then apparently one of the reporters finally got through, had the whole little menu system, press one to do this, press two to do that, and at the end of it, told him to go to the website.
You go, oh, God. Oh, man.
So this is a
train wreck.
Exactly. This is, and the question is, can they fix it in time? Because the first set of deadlines is coming up, I believe, December 15th, something like that, in order to be signed up in time to have it take effect on January 1st. When you have to be signed up in order to say on your taxes that you are covered and not have the penalty apply to you, at least in part. And then there are more deadlines.
That's not what it says. This says here that there's 161 days left.
You have till March. Open enrollment goes through the middle of March, but you have to have it done by the middle of December in order to have it take effect by January 1st.
Okay. Well, look, here's the thing that I said to everybody today. Okay, I was like, well, or what I not said, but that I had gathered from what I was reading today. Look, a lot of the people that are bitching about this, like right now, have no stake in this. They're not getting anything from it. It's not costing them anything. It's just a lot of people bitching about it, just because I don't know, for some reason they think it's some kind of a socialist conspiracy. The whole website glitch is just a fiasco. I mean, there's just no getting around it. I mean, it just is. I mean, it's just you hired a whole bunch of. I mean, you started too late. You didn't get it tested right. It's not working. Then you know you had a crush of people getting on there. I mean, it's just a mess. But I do think that, look, from what I'm seeing, like right now, in the end, I think the average American is going to be substantially benefited by this. That's my take, and I'm sticking to it.
Yeah, well, I guess we'll find out over the next couple of years.
Oh, we will. So, anyway, all right, so that's the whole Obamacare shtick. How much time have we burned on this? Jesus, we've done a whole show! What was it that you had to talk about? What was your other topic that you had?
Oh, the other two things we had were fallout from the financial crisis and the Marysville rape case.
It's kind of like, do we want to wrap it up? We'll pick it up later.
We can wrap
maybe
it up.
We can make a show that is not an hour and a half or one day, for God's sake.
If we stop now, we're going to be very close to an hour.
Yes. Yeah. So I'm going to suggest that we stop now. Okay. For once.
Okay. Let's call it. And sorry for you. I was going to say Marysville rape fans, but I guess that's the wrong thing to say.
Oh, God, yes, no, that's not the appropriate
thing to say. Financial crisis fans?
Financial crisis fans, there were some. Yes, yeah. There were some people like mayhem and destruction, yes.
No, I, of course I'm being tongue-in-cheek. But like I said at the beginning of the show, there are always things we don't get to. So that's things we're not going to get to.
Things we're not going to get to today.
Who knows if we'll talk about it next week or not either, because other things will come up.
I feel like, you know, I don't know, I can't remember, you know how, I can't remember who the hell, there was this guest that either Johnny Carson or Dave Letterman kept bumping all the time, I can't remember who the heck it was, and every time a guy's like, yeah, well, we bumped him again, you know, he's not on the show, well, we bumped him, yeah, we didn't have time, it's kind of like we just keep bumping guests. I mean, if we had a TV show, I mean, there'd be guests sitting over there in the green room, and they're like, yeah, we're not getting to you, forget it.
At least it's not the lady with the potato chip collection.
The potato chip collection. I don't remember the lady with the potato
chip
collection.
So, and this is showing all of our ages. But this is one of the things that was always highlighted on, like, the Best of Carson compilations and stuff. There was this little old lady in her 80s who, for her entire life, had been collecting potato chips that looked like things. Okay?
This was
her thing, and she was very proud of this and very serious about it and blah, 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 and she'd brought some of her most prized potato chips with her to the Johnny Carson show to show them on national television. And so, you know, they come out, and, you know, and Carson starts munching on chips. He just starts grabbing chips and eating them. And she's like, ah! And of course, he'd like slipped a bag in that wasn't her chips, but you know, he had her going for like 30 seconds, and incredibly distraught woman because you know her pride.
Well, I gotta find that video online. So this is the potato. Wait, what's the lady potato chip? What?
Johnny Carson potato chip lady. You'll probably find it.
Yeah. It showed up. Okay. Yeah. Here we go.
Anyway, at least we're not doing that to people.
No, we're not.
Anyway, that's it. We'll call it a show. We'll maybe talk about those other things, but most likely we won't. Thank you for joining us. As usual, email me at abelsmay@abelsmay.com and follow us on Twitter. Yvonne's I am Bo. I am Abelsmay. And we love to hear from you. Tell your friends, all that stuff. Anyway, we're out of here. Goodbye.
Bye-bye.